All right, guys, welcome back. Sam's Army, episode 2.55. Great to have you back. There's so much good stuff going on in the soccer world. I cannot wait to get to it. Got to address some stuff first, which we will get into in just a moment. First, though, let's bring in our esteemed colleague here, Mikey Fowler. I put him together there, Mikey Fowler. How you doing, Mikey?
I'm doing great, Sam. How are you?
Well, not bad. Not bad. I'm not a big, bad trophy-winning Arsenal fan at this point, so congratulations. I will say that as a Spurs fan. I don't mean it, but I will say it. Arsenal came down the stretch hot.
Have I had a chance to brag about that on here yet?
Yeah, I know. You'll get. You will actually get into that later, I think, when Europa comes.
Well, after the Champions League.
I think you got some stuff to talk about there, but we got to get into some delicate stuff first, because it's been a strange week around here, and this, in fact, is why I didn't invite any guest on or have like a guest co-host or anything like that. I didn't want anybody to feel uncomfortable with the subject matter. So basically, to give people the backstory, I went on a podcast a week ago or so with Atlanta United. It's Spiked Up, I think is what it's called. It's their official podcast. So they invited me on. We talked soccer for 45 minutes, the usual shit. I'm just there to spread my love of soccer. And then they promoted it through their official Twitter account, and immediately just got a bunch of blowback from people who, instinctively hate Barstool for whatever reason, for right reasons, for wrong reasons, et cetera, et cetera. I probably made a bit of a mistake by jumping into my mentions and responding to people and sort of asking them about their baseless allegations about why they hate Barstool and that stuff. Probably not the good thing to do. Probably just let it blow over. Probably would have blown over. But then the small swinging dicks of the Big J soccer community decided that they needed to get their Twitter clout, their retweets and likes, by jumping on the bandwagon. And essentially what they did is there were a bunch of retweets led by Grant Wall, who basically thinks that Barstool is racist and sexist. I'm using his words here. Everybody at Barstool is racist and sexist, and everybody who associates with Barstool is racist and sexist. Oh, Grant, you silly little man. So basically, he's done this before. He went on a rant before. He now did this when I went on Atlanta's podcast. It's not just him. There are other guys, Jason Davis, some nobody from Sirius. I don't even know who he is, but he got in and called, the usual sexist and racist stuff through those allegations at Barstool. And basically what they're doing is they're basically trying to silence me. They're basically telling MLS clubs or, NWSL clubs, any club, not to work with me because I am sexist and racist for being attached to Barstool. I normally you'd want to just sort of let these things die out, but like I couldn't let it go. I just have to fight back, because otherwise it's like me basically, I don't know, admitting that they're right. That's sort of how I see it. I don't know. Am I wrong on this here?
No, I would not like to be labeled like that as well.
Right. It just feels like they're slandering the shit out of me. So basically, I just want to get it off my chest. And that's what I did in a blog. I put out a blog on Sunday, basically calling out Grant Wall and his, Big J buddies for being big fat hypocrites. Like the fact that you're going to come at me over, questionable stuff that basically bad jokes and ignorant takes from years ago that other people at Barstool made. I don't agree with them. I think a lot of the people, the people who were involved with them have had to basically address them and say, yeah,
And they have. They've had conversations.
That's the thing, is that they've addressed them. The thing about mistakes at Barstool is that we own them and we address them. Unlike people at other companies. Specifically, we're going to talk about Grant Wall here. So Fox, he worked at Fox for 7 years. Fox is basically like the poster child for a company with a culture of misogyny and a culture, not a culture of racism, but obviously some incidents, some very serious incidents with racism. Somebody was just fired from Fox for being a white supremacist, like just literally a white supremacist. And obviously they've got years and years of sexual harassment suits, millions of dollars in settlements, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm not saying anything that anybody doesn't know, but for him to get, so he left Fox in 2018, then he left Sports Illustrated after 24 years. It's actually pretty amazing. After 24 years, he left SI, getting paid a huge bunch of money.
Yeah, he didn't leave.
Oh, he got fired, right.
he refused to take a pay cut on the right.
$350,000. So he got shit canned in April. And then all of a sudden, he's just going on these rants about, you know, Barstool being sexist and racist. Buddy, you were getting paid like a fucking king by Sports Illustrated for 24 years. And this is a company that is known best for objectifying women. I mean, like, let's be honest, they get paid from bikinis. Like that's their big moneymaker. And let me say this, I don't care. Like, I don't care if you work for Fox. I don't care if you work for Sports Illustrated. Like, I get it. You got to make a paycheck. You're doing your journalism and other people are doing other things at these companies. But don't fucking get on your high horse and come at me about this shit. Like, if you know anything about me, anybody who's followed me on Twitter for 6 years, followed me on the podcast for a couple of years, followed me on Instagram for several years, like, you know what I'm all about. I've been calling out racism for years before it was cool. not that that makes me like some sort of hero, but like
it's impossible to cover soccer and not have to give a take on something.
You like do this. Like, listen, human rights is different than politics. And I'm all about, I do wade into the human rights issues here and there. Promoting NWSL, promoting U.S. Women's National Team. Like, I'm doing that. I totally agree with that and think that they don't get nearly enough love. So, I'm doing that. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm just trying to promote my love of soccer. And I got these fucking douchebags. Well,
and what Atlanta wanted, we're not even talking about Atlanta being bullied out of that. What they wanted is to branch over into a new soccer audience that you're bringing. Right. And they want to teach people about their club. Grab people who may be interested in soccer during the quarantine. Talk to somebody who talks to layman soccer fans like you. And hopefully grab them for their team and talk about the game.
Right. Is that so bad? It's crazy. And then we got these big J's, blue check marks coming after me, trying to label me sexist and racist. And basically, you know, that clubs can't work with me. Like, are you fucking serious right now? Are you serious, bro? Like, I'm beside myself about this. I guess what I will say is that the people like Wall are, I don't hate him. I honestly don't hate him because you know what he's trying to do in like his mind is he's trying to eliminate things like racism and sexism, which I applaud. I'm all for that. But buddy, get your fucking head screwed on straight here and go after the people who are actually, you know, propagating this shit and not me who's just trying to promote soccer to, you know, a new audience. It's just crazy.
Or even if you don't want to do that, at least have the wherewithal to defend your position and talk about it and have examples and really like talk about what's going on here. Cause you're pointing out a lot of points that I think could be rebutted, could be refuted, cause he might not feel that they're valid or might feel a different way, but he's just launching missiles at you and then blocking every single person in the world.
Literally everybody was blocked. Anybody who liked my blog that I, you know,
or tweet or anything.
Or tweet or anything, everybody's like, oh shit, I'm blocked.
And what kind of way is that to have a discourse or to
Perfect, you know, microcosm of what he's all about. He's out of touch. The dude is out of touch. I think, you know, he's done great things for soccer. Like he was in before anybody else. He was doing journalism. He was, you know, writing about the sport before a lot of people were. So you got to give him a little bit of credit here. But like,
yeah, dude, every soccer fan's read something from Grant.
Right, right. And but now you're a dinosaur. Like you just need to I don't know, step up, just take some plays off maybe. Just step back. And just Nick's, I'm not asking him to promote my work. I'm not asking him to like me. He doesn't even need to respect me. Just shut the fuck up. And nix this hypocritical grandstanding. That's all. That's all I'm asking. Just shut the fuck up. Okay, that's it. We're gonna move on. And I'm not gonna, you know, touch on this all the time. I just needed to. This is a new platform. I know a lot of people who are on Twitter aren't necessarily on the podcast and vice versa. So I just needed to address it on this new platform. We're moving on.
Because, and if you're new, And if you're new, we got some fucking games today.
We got some great shit. We got some great shit here. I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be a fantastic week of soccer ahead of us. One of the best in a long time, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. So let's get off this other bullshit and get on to the soccer talk. And before we get to all the games ahead of us, because we got some great games, let's go through weekly hypothetical here, because I want to bring you in. I know you got some thoughts on this. So the weekly hypothetical was based on a tweet somebody sent. I didn't have it written down who it was. I think it was a guy named Marius Fisher. Give the guy a little credit. Nice. So he said, if you could take one person, clone them, and have 11 of them, who would it, you know, who could you, what player would it be would that would make the best team in the world? Yeah. And let's nix, you know, historicals, because, you know, we could go years back and like, who the fuck knows if, you know, Pele, Maradona.
Let's talk some current.
Let's talk current. I'm going to throw it at you first.
So I saw so many great answers in your comments
section. Yeah, there were a lot of answers on
really Instagram. Good ones. I really, really liked some. I'm going to give you my top three. I think the things I'm looking for are quick touches, like a striker. Like, you have to be able to be quick and low to the ground with the ball. You need to be strong defensively. And then I have to picture, like, just that lethalness to you. You can't – you got to score goals. So the three that I came up with for mine were Joshua Kimmich, who I saw very, very popular. All three of my players are on Bayern Munich, by the way.
Oh, wow. Oh, boy.
Joshua Kimmich, David Alaba, and then my number one pick that I would take, and I'm going to go to battle with all of you, is Leon Goretzka. I would make 11 Leon Goretzkas and try to win this whole thing. I think that's my pick.
Okay. All right. All right. Goretzka is a ballsy pick. I will say that. Ballsy pick. I think I'm going to take a left turn here. If we're going to pick the most dominant player, and this, I just said we're going to throw out historicals. I'm going to bring a historical right in your face. Mia Hamm. Because I think that she actually would be the most dominant player if we had 11 of them. Mm. Who knows if I'm right on that. I'm going to stick with that, though. But now we're going to go back to the actual question at hand. My pick is going to be Virgil van Dijk. The guy can do everything. He's a big dude.
He's not quick enough for me.
You know what? He's big and strong enough. You're right. Like, if you're going to come up against 11 Messis, you know, he's going to have some difficulty. But, like, I still
he's never
going to
touch the ball.
He's not quick. He may not be as quick as a guy like Messi, but man, that guy is still fast as shit. Yeah. And he's physical. He's big. He can score. Have you seen him hit a free kick?
I've seen a lot of videos of
him. Right? So, like, he can just do everything. There's a lot of right answers here. I saw a lot of Kevin De Bruyne.
Kevin De Bruyne is a great one. I was thinking Milinkovic-Savic, but I mean, he's got everything. But De Bruyne is a great one because he's also like 6'1".
Savage, such a soccer nerd.
I love Savage.
Such a soccer nerd. I love
Savage.
The only other thing I'll point out is that nobody said any goalkeepers. Weird. Weird. Nobody said
any Manuel goalkeepers. Neuer might be a good one.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Well, he can touch.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right. No, it's a great question. I'm going Leon Goretzka. De Bruyne is shout out.
All right. Goretzka versus VVD.
I'm kicking the shit out of you.
I think VVD is going to whoop your ass. I'll be honest.
Okay.
Let's do a quick ad read here. So the sponsor is Fubo TV. You guys have heard me talking about this for a few weeks now. And cord cutting, I got to say, I was a little leery at first. I'm on board. I like this. You can watch TV. You got it at your fingertips at all times. You don't got to worry about your remote not working, as Mikey's been dealing with recently.
I mean, unbelievable that you need a working Apple TV remote to set up a remote Apple TV app.
Crazy.
So stupid.
So I can confirm you don't need a remote for Fubo TV. What you do get, though, is a lot of soccer. They got beIN Sports for La Liga. They got NBC Sports for English Premier League, excuse me. And they, as of August 1st, have ESPN. For, let's see, Bundesliga, Serie A, MLS. I mean, listen, they got soccer galore right at your fingertips on your phone or iPad. So give them a shot. It is even
it's the best way to do it.
Cheaper than your cable provider as well.
And if you want to know a secret, CBS has been cracking down on the Reddit stream. So if you're going to rely on that, probably not worth it. Go Fubo.
Ah, we're going to get, that's a good segue. We're going to get into that in just a second. So if you want to try it, go to FuboTV.com/Sam to get all the soccer you can imagine right at your fingertips. Give it a shot. FuboTV.com/Sam. All right. Enough housekeeping. Let's talk soccer again. So you mentioned CBS and their streaming and they're cutting down on it. I guess I didn't know that because I actually did like a putz subscribe. But let's talk about their service. So have you been illegally streaming or can you actually comment on what your experience has been so far?
I have not. I actually bought into it because they mixed all the reliable streams. I did the $4.99. I'm still in my week, but they nixed all the reliable streams.
Because if I ever needed a stream and I couldn't get it, you were always the man I went to for that.
I struggled to get a very good working one. And it was about 20 minutes into the games, and I was like, fuck this. So
I went. I mean, understandable. And the good news is, I'll give away my thoughts on their coverage. It's been quite good.
It's been quite good.
The streams, the player – this might be getting too into the nitty gritty here, but like the player doesn't have the as many options as say ESPN Plus with like rewind and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. At least I couldn't figure out how to do it again.
No, you're right.
As far as technology goes, I'm not.
Which Fubo allows you to do.
Fubo does allow you to do. Well done, Mikey. But other than that, like the stream was good. The in studio, the personalities they got with Carragher and Mike Richards and mm-hmm. Kate Abdo is
Michael Richards. I thought was lovely.
Yeah, no, the group, I liked them. I think they're doing pretty well. So obviously it's only been 1 week and usually soccer fans are the first ones to get on anybody who's, you know, slacking. And BR obviously took it in the face, TNT or Turner they BR. Did. People they did not really did. Like their approach. So I think through 1 week, CBS gets a definite, we're just going to go pass fail here and they're getting a definite pass at this point.
For sure.
So well done so far. Keep it up.
Yeah.
All right, move on. COVID ramifications. So, you know, obviously we're in a fucking hellscape pandemic at the moment. Mm-hmm. Not great. Kind of sucks, but I got some silver linings. We're all about positivity right now. So positive silver linings.
Yeah.
COVID sucks, but I got three huge silver linings from COVID here. So first is, and we're going to get into, you know, the Champions League and Europa League in just a minute. With that came the change in the format. We got single elimination games. These games have been entertaining, or they're going to be entertaining. They've been, you know, they're going to be dramatic. I think it gives an edge to underdogs. I think there's going to be maybe a greater chance of upsets. I don't know. Maybe I'm just reaching too far with that, but I'm really excited about the single elimination format. Yeah. This is some, you know, it's the kind of shit that Americans can really get down with. We love our.
I mean, it makes it playoffs. Such an occasion. These days are going to be such big days,
right? Because you know, home and home is like it's great, and the second game is sort of a do or die, but like, it's just it's so much easier, so much cleaner, so much more elegant. One game, neutral site, no less. It's great.
It's going to be such a dick measuring contest. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fantastic. And, you know, we'll get into another one in a little bit. But basically for the next week or maybe 10 days, we're going to have the best soccer on, like, every day. It's going to be awesome. So, actually, it's going to be four silver linings. So, that's the second one. Number three, I'll call it number three now. So, Big Ten just nixed the football season for college football. So, I assume that means that a lot more dominoes will likely fall. Maybe the SEC will fall. It seems like they actually really want to make this happen. But assuming that no or a lot less college football happens, that means there's going to be a lot more love being shown for European soccer and hopefully MLS as well. So, you know, fingers crossed on that. But obviously Europe has their shit together a hell of a lot more than we do over here in the U.S. So, you know, we can count on those Europeans to wear their masks and play some soccer. So thank you, Europe. You're welcome for World War II, and you guys are paying us back now. So respect. And finally, fourth silver lining I got written down, 2021 just might be the best year in sports history ever because we got the Olympics, we got the Euros, and maybe more importantly than all that, hopefully we're going to have a vaccine and everybody's going to be able to go to sports games and we're going to really appreciate what it was that we had up until the pandemic slapped us in the in the face with his big old balls. So, you know, I think that 2021, we're looking for positives here. I'm looking forward to 2021 as being just an incredible year. I mean, the Olympics, Euros, obviously, are going to be awesome.
And Mikel Arteta's first full season in charge.
Of course, got to bring it back to Arsenal. I think you're going to have another one more comment about Arsenal when we get to Europa. We're going to wait for that. We're going to start with Champions League. Start with Champions League. So as we touched on earlier, the next 4 days, 4 days in a row, we got one game each day. It's going to be awesome. So we got Wednesday, Atalanta and PSG. These games are all at neutral site. Remember, they're in Portugal, so nobody's a home team. Thursday, we got Red Bull. I'm just going to call them Red Bull Leipzig. I know it's not Red Bull, but RBL. Fine, we'll call them that. Atleti. Yeah,
Leipzig.
Leipzig and Atleti, they're going Thursday. Friday, we got Barcelona and Bayern, the marquee matchup of the round. And then Saturday, we got City and Lyon. So that is an incredible slate of games. Next 4 days is just going to be insane. So let's give a little bit of a preview prediction here. So let's start with Atalanta, yeah. PSG. You want to go first or you want me to?
Yeah, I'm already pissed at Saint-Étienne again for no Mbappe. I'm furious at them. I mean, the fact that Mbappe doesn't get to be in this game really ruins it for me. But, I mean, there's going to be a ton of goals. Atalanta is fantastic. And now that we say there's going to be goals, I have a feeling it's going to go the opposite way. Even though, like,
I see where you're coming from there. I don't think so. I don't think Atalanta is you know, even they don't have the potential to play a boring game.
I think I really hope it's going to be open and awesome. An early goal would sure be nice in that one, but that one's going to be, I mean, thrilling. And then, I mean, you can't even. I'm really excited for all of them, but the Friday one, you just can't. There's nothing you can say about that.
The one, so we'll go in order, RBL, Atleti. Yeah. So there's no Werner for RBL, which is a huge miss.
Yep.
So he got signed by, talking about Timo Werner here, he got signed by Chelsea. He's already training with Chelsea, which I do understand, as you said before we got on the podcast.
I'm opposite of you in this one.
Yeah, we disagree. You said he's going to be playing games for Chelsea in what, like 5.5 weeks? So,
yeah.
You know, you understand him going and practicing with Chelsea. I understand that. I hear you, but I vehemently disagree. I think if you are playing with a team, you got a group of guys that you're like, you guys are my teammates, you're my boys. You got to see out the season. You have to finish the season with your team. I can't imagine myself ever, you know, moving on before a season is done. Yeah. I'm also an idiot, and I'm also there's many things wrong with me, but I could never do that. So
yeah.
I don't like that he moved on. I'm not saying it's a red flag, but we'll see. We'll see.
No.
Not that you and I are, you know, biased in any way, shape, or form. No. It's newly signed Chelsea player. But RBL Atleti should be interesting. I mean, like,
great game.
Playing against Atleti in a one-off game.
Sounds terrible.
Not what you want to do. Sounds not going to be a good time for you.
Saul will score a worldie and they'll buckle down and you'll be out.
So if, in terms of a game watchability, that might be the worst one.
No, I'm excited as hell for it tactically.
Tactically, it'll be good for sort of noobs. Might be a little bit of a slog.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I think you just said it right there. I got Atleti winning 1-0 in that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the worst pick.
Right? Anytime Atleti plays a one-off game, go
1-0. Leipzig will struggle to score.
Well, no Werner, right? We just talked about it.
And they will obviously struggle.
Friday, Barca and Bayern. Doesn't get bigger than that in terms of name brand recognition.
Or styles, too. I mean, ideally, Barca should be heavily underdogged here.
Oh, I'm sure they will be. Bayern is a fucking wagon right now.
I know.
They are trucking everybody.
This is it's so funny that Messi always winds up against a German team with a one-man show.
Right. I mean, listen, he's Messi. That's what it's. But the thing about Barca is that they always have Messi. You always got Messi. And
Messi's going to have a special one.
Always going to have a real special one. Coming off the Juventus with Ronnie scoring a brace.
And you know that Messi fires them. They fire each other up. They do push each other with that.
They absolutely do. But he's not going to have, you know, Juve didn't make it. Lyon knocked him out. So he doesn't have Ronaldo to push him to be, you know, his best self.
No, we'll see. He knows how contrasting it'll be for him to dominate right after that. So this might give him a little bit of a.
I just don't think Barca has the defense to hang with Bayern. I just
it's going
to
be fun. That's going to be a fun one.
That's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome. I've got, but I can't go against Bayern in that one. I always say, you know, you can never go against Messi. And then like, I always go against Messi, but like,
I'm going to go with Barcelona.
Really? Ballsy.
I mean, I love
low Bayern. Scoring or high scoring?
High scoring.
Okay. All right. Okay. I got Bayern 3-1, I would say.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. I think 3-2 Barcelona.
Okay. All right.
Messi Saturday. Brace.
That's not a bad pick. I'll say that. Saturday we got City and Lyon. So Man City, you know, obviously playing great. Tons of great players. No Aguero. It's been like basically confirmed he's probably not, or almost definitely not, going to play for City again this season, which that hurts them. I mean, you know, they obviously got Gabriel Jesus. They obviously got other guys that can score. Many other guys that can score.
Many.
But you know, Aguero just gives them a different element that they will be lacking. And Lyon showed that they can play with pretty much anybody.
They have some special players.
At least an old Juventus squad.
They have some really special players.
They look good against Juve. So I'm being really boring here, but I've got City in that one. I think City and Bayern would be the, you know, the de facto championship.
That would be fucking nuts.
In the semis, perhaps, although I've got a dark horse for you. But any chance Lyon can turn the tables there?
Certainly there's a chance. They played them and they beat them in the group stage of the Champions League last season, I believe. And Hassan Ouar, I don't know how to pronounce his name, is like – basically, Pep, he's going to be with Pep for the rest of his career. So this is one of the few seasons before he eventually does. They're good. I'm really excited for that. But they're going to need to score freaking four because City's going to rip them apart the other way.
I got
City winning that game.
Because City, yeah, I do have City as well.
I have City, Barcelona, score, City, Barcelona, PSG over Atalanta and Atleti.
Okay, I got Atlanta beating PSG. Atlanta is my – so I was talked about dark horses and perhaps upsets. I'm sticking with Atlanta as my perhaps champion of Champions League, coming out of nowhere.
Max's Atleti is stuck in my head, and I can't get rid of it now.
It sucks that they're actually missing some guys. I think Ilicic is out. And some other thing. That sucks. But I'm going Atlanta over PSG. I'm going to say 3-2 in that one. I got Atleti 1-0. I got Bayern 3-1. I don't know if I got a score on City Lyon. Nothing comes to me right off the top of my head. I'm going to go 2-1, actually. I'm going City 2-1.
Okay.
So, yeah, but point being, like the broader point here, the next 4 days are going to be fucking awesome. Like
awesome.
One game a day for the next 4 days. And then, so that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then we got Sunday, Monday, Europa League semifinals, which are also single elimination. You know, just do or die, bing, bang, boom. Gotta love it. And not only that, but like the four that are left in Europa are pretty damn good. I mean, like these teams are playing really well right now. We got Sevilla, who just beat Wolves.
The Europa League every year.
This is their competition. Sevilla is playing Manchester United, who, as we've given United a lot of credit recently.
Yeah, but all their buddies are on vacation and they want to be too.
Possibly, but they did not look very good against FC Copenhagen.
13 saves for the keeper.
True. But you know, poor. They just didn't look. They didn't have that incisiveness that they've had a lot of times. They have that goal called back by Greenwood, which was Greenwood is that guy's the truth. That guy's a finisher.
Mm-hmm.
But the I hesitate on that one. I'm leaning United, even though this is Sevilla's like competition. They never lose in this. I got to go United in that. I'm like, I've been so sold on United recently. I'm like, been a fucking fanboy over here.
I mean, I know you are.
I know. Sort of embarrassed about that. But listen, facts are facts. You got to follow the facts. The other game is Inter Milan, who have been playing very well themselves against Shakhtar Donetsk.
Who are killing people.
Who have been rolling lately. So, all four of these teams and both of these matchups should be top notch.
I'm pulling very hard for a matchup of Sevilla and Shakhtar.
I was gonna say United and Inter.
I know. I'm going.
I would love to see Lukaku basically score, you know, like a brace and beat United. That would just be
pick up Phil Jones and throw him over the net.
Oh, that would just be. He did that to somebody. Basically, did some that to somebody in their last game. I don't know. He's a big, strong man. Somebody, as Lukaku is known to do. Yeah, those games are going to be awesome. Sunday and Monday. Do not miss those. One off, winner take all, neutral site. Can't beat that. Cannot beat that.
I'm still. This is where you said I'd bring up Arsenal again. Before the podcast got on, I was fucking furious because we would have easily won this competition this year.
Easily.
I'm serious. We would have won this competition this year. It's not even fucking close.
Listen, when you said it, I laughed, and then I thought about it for like half a second. I was like, well, listen, that's not as demented as it would have sounded maybe a month ago. Because you guys did. You ran through the FA Cup. You ran through the FA Cup pretty well. Yeah. And those were, you know, one-off games and everything like that. So, well done to you. Although, it's too bad. Who'd you lose to?
Olympiacos.
Whoops. Whoops.
It could have been a dream ending to this thing.
Oh boy. Okay. Last but not least, we got MLS back. MLS is back. Final tonight.
Yes.
So, first of all, credit to MLS. Just like NWSL before them, they made this shit happen. Just like. Applause to the league for actually getting their shit together and making this happen somehow in the middle of, you know, this was months ago when they put this together before we actually knew whether it was actually going to be possible. You know, they put this bubble together. They made it happen. They caught so much shit on Twitter. They caught so much grief. And yet, you know, they didn't bend the knee. They actually went through with it.
Yep.
And it worked. And also got to give credit to the players. These fucking guys basically in NWSL, the women put their lives on hold and basically lived in Orlando and Utah for a month or more. So got to give them some credit for that. Mm-hmm. But now we got Orlando, the team everybody knew was going to be in the final, thanks to their home field advantage. We got Orlando and Portland in the final. What are your thoughts here?
That Valeri wins trophies.
True that.
And that I was right to fall in love with Blanco in one of those early games. Mm-hmm. I said it on this podcast. And Nani is still producing enough magic to advance a team of hardworking guys into a tournament, single elimination. We talked about this all the time. Experience was going to be very key in these things, as was creative players, because everyone's going to be a little rough around the edges. It's those little moments of class that get you the goals. Nani's proven that you can defend well and have a couple moments. His team's been good around him, not saying it's just him. And then on the other side, Portland goes as Valeri goes, and he's been doing it for a long time, and he's truly, truly special. So I do have Portland winning this game tonight, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if the end of this story and the end of this tale is Orlando lifting it at home.
I would be shocked if Orlando won. I've been impressed with them, Nani especially, let's say I just wasn't sold on coming into the season. Yeah. He's been actually very good. He's been very determined. Credit to him. A Wisco boy, Chris Mueller, is killing it for Orlando. I love to see that. So, they've got guys with in form and with the class to perhaps give Portland some troubles. I'm sure they probably will. But you basically name-check the guys that are really important, Blanco and Valeri. And you didn't mention Obobese. That guy has been on fire.
Yeah.
And my boy Steve Clark has been killing it. I'm not big on giving goalies credit here, but he's actually been playing incredibly well. He made one mistake that people were killing him for, but have you guys been watching the fucking tournament? That guy has been incredible. He's been he saved like basically a PK a game. So fucking get out. People are getting off me for saying PK, but fine. Penalty a game. Yeah, so I do have Portland. I think we both have Portland going through.
I have Portland.
The cup. And credit to them.
Which means we bet the house on Orlando tonight.
Ladies. That's right. If we're both on one side, you better go the other way if you got it. And listen, nobody ever went poor. I've been saying nobody has ever gone poor betting MLS underdogs. Ever.
Betting against me.
Ever. Or you, but especially underdogs. And that's all we got. We're in, we're out. We talked about some stuff. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it and stick around, subscribe, tell your friends, all that stuff. So thank you guys for listening. The haters are coming after us, but we're still here. We're still coming back. We will still be here. And can't thank you guys enough. Mikey, as always, can't thank you enough for hopping on.
Thank you so much.
And we'll see you guys next week. Take care, guys.
See ya.